Heavenly Father, we, as we come to your word on this Christmas day, we pray that we would see the wonder that is the Lord Jesus. Help us to see why remembering his birth this morning really is good news. And would that permeate our day today, we pray, as we celebrate. Amen. Amen. Well, it's Christmas morning. It's finally here. And your day, I'm going to take a guess here, your day may have already had its familiar rhythm. Stockings, perhaps. Presents, maybe. Breakfast traditions. And here we are again. Same carols, similar readings, same story. I reckon these two pictures sum up Christmas for everyone. Let me explain why. For some of us, Christmas feels comfortable, like those Christmas slippers you've just unwrapped. Warm, fuzzy, delightful. For others of us, we might be thinking, really? Again? Another baby in a manger story? Another Christmas sermon? Perhaps you think of Christmas like socks. The socks of Christmas, the same thing again, year after year. But whether you are a Christmas slipper or a Christmas sock this morning, we're going to hit pause. Because what if, instead of rushing past another nativity scene, we stop to think, why? Why is this baby good news? Not just for those who first found him, but for us, right here, right now. Because let's be honest, the marketing department of Christmas oversells it. Christmas cards, well, they show the perfect family and the perfect scene, which only a few of us might have today. And many of us may have walked into this hall this morning carrying something heavy. Because family struggle doesn't pause because it's December 25th. Global conflict doesn't respect holiday tradition. That nagging sense in the back of your mind that things just aren't the way they're meant to be, don't stop because it's Christmas Day. So here's our question this morning. Why is this baby such good news? Why is this baby such good news as the projector finally dies behind me? Why does this baby make a difference today? Well, to answer that, we need to go back. We need to go back to a time when the world was just as broken as ours is today. And we're not going back to Bethlehem. We're going back to Isaiah's day. And let me tell you, Isaiah's day was bleak. In Isaiah's day, the line of David, King David, well, it was shattered. It was beginning to look like a shattered dream. The kings were failing. The kingdom was crumbling. God's people were barely holding on. In fact, Isaiah 6 says, it's like a stump. Like a stump that had been cut down. A tree that had been cut down to its stump. And not only that, it was then burnt again. All the hope of that nation had been cut down to a stump. A stump, a lifeless remnant of what used to be. Early in the morning of the 28th of September 2023, we saw this vividly on our news. Can you remember that day? I would have shown you a picture. The Sycamore Gap tree. You remember that tree? Famous for starring in Kevin Costner's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And if you look over there, you can see it on the screen as it would be. Oh, it is there. There we go, in an artistic form. Next to Hadrian's Wall, it was felled. It was turned into a stump. A stump, just a lifeless remnant of what used to be. 150-ish years of history, reaching up to the sky, and then one September morning or night, someone taking a chainsaw and taking it down to a stump. The outcry was great, wasn't it? Who knew how much emotion could be tied up into one tree? People across the country mourned because a stump, well, it feels like the end, like hope cut down. That picture is just a small picture of what's going on in Isaiah. A once thriving kingdom, under the blessing of God, now cut down. Not just cut down once, but cut down and laid waste again. No sign of life, just a stump. But that stump, that seemingly dead end, that is exactly where this morning Isaiah points us to find hope. Because from that very stump, God promises something extraordinary. Have a look down at Isaiah 11, verse 1. Because here, Isaiah is showing us why this baby who's coming, this promised one, is such good news. Because out of this stump, a shoot will come up. Why is this baby such good news? Well, because he's the best king you could ever ask for. All of God's promises are bundled up with him. He is the new David. He's going to have God's own wisdom and power, and he's going to bring about unimaginable peace. So for the next few minutes, that's what we're going to think about. Let's look at each one of those together. The first reason he is such good news, because he is the new David. That is verse 1, and that is point 1 this morning. He is the new David. Have a look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. You see, from this stump, this dead end of hope, suddenly pops up a shoot. A tiny green sprout, not Brussels sprout, but a green sprout of life. This is the child that we've heard of before, the promised one to come. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And notice where he comes from. He comes from the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse isn't just any name in Israel's history. Jesse is David's father. Remember King David, the shepherd boy who became Israel's greatest king? The one that God had promised was going to have a descendant on the throne forever. That's who we're talking about. But here's the puzzle this morning. Why doesn't Isaiah say the stump of David? Why does he say the stump of Jesse? Here's one reason why this is good news. Because David's royal line had failed. We've seen it in Isaiah's story. Kings like Ahaz, who chose politics over God, wealth over wisdom. Even the good kings like Hezekiah, they just could not measure up in the end. They were like that Christmas present that I'm sure we're going to see this today, that looks amazing, but about a few seconds later it's fallen apart and broken. But now, here in this passage, God is doing something new. God is saying, we're going to go back to the beginning. Before the corruption, before the failure, I'm going to send you a new David, a better David, the king you've been waiting for. You see, God is not just going to patch up the broken kingdom of David. He is going to start afresh. He's going to start with a new David. He is the best king you could ask for, a new David. So we've got our King David, but what kind of leader will he be? Well, that's where verses 2-5 come in. What kind of leader? Well, he will have God's own power and wisdom. God's own wisdom and power. That is point 2 to see. Now, later today, many of us are going to watch King Charles give his non-traditional, according to the news, Christmas message. We wait and see. We're going to see our king at his most kingly. But this king that Isaiah describes, he is different from any other earthly king we've ever seen. In Isaiah's day, the kings were known for throwing their weight around, for showing off their armies, their wealth and their power. I mean, not much has changed, has it? We still see leaders today driven by polls rather than principle, by power rather than purpose. But let's read verses 2-5 again, and let's see how Isaiah describes this king. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. You see there, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. not just any spirit, but God's own spirit. And notice what his spirit brings. He brings wisdom and understanding. He sees right through every situation, every problem, every heart. The spirit of counsel and might, he knows exactly what to do and has the power to do it. No empty promises here. The spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. He always chooses God's way. Always. This king here, rather than relying on their own strength, is going to be empowered by the spirit of the Lord. Just think for a moment how good that would be. Just think how good it would be to serve that king. How good it would be to live in the land of that king. He'll be the perfect judge, verse 3. What makes me say that from verse 3? Well, because he will not judge with his eyes or decide by what he hears. See, that might sound strange, but just think about it. Have you ever seen a picture of Lady Justice? Well, there you go. Lady Justice, she's always wearing a blindfold. It pictures perfect impartiality. No bias, no prejudice, no playing favourites. But the reason why she's a statue is it's an ideal. It's an ideal of what our legal system hopes to be. But it's not an ideal with this king. Do you see that? It is exactly who he is. No bribe can sway him. No clever argument can deceive him. He sees straight to the heart of every matter. Straight to the heart of every matter. If you are looking for justice this Christmas, for any reason at all, this is the king you want. And look at verse 4, even better. He's especially concerned about the needy and poor. When was the last time you saw a powerful leader whose first priority was the powerless? This king uses his authority not to build his own empire, but to lift up the lowly. And his words, verse 4, well, they tell us, they carry God's own power. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. That means he's going to bring about God's perfect rule. He's going to put things back the way they ought to be, where everything mad, bad, and sad is gone forever. That's remarkable from where we've come in Isaiah. King Ahaz, if you remember him, Isaiah 7, he did not trust God's word. This king will embody God's word. Ahaz did not care about others. He cared about himself. This king here will put others first, so much so he will even die in their place. And verse 5, his righteousness and faithfulness are key to who he is. They are so wrapped about him that they can be described here like a belt. They're part of who he is. That is what makes this king different from every other king, every other leader, every other person who has ever lived. He doesn't just have good ideas about justice, he has God's wisdom. He doesn't just have some authority, he has all of God's power. This is the king to long for. This is the king we want. This is the king we need. Perfect justice, perfect wisdom. God's own power wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is the best king you could ask for. He will have God's own wisdom and God's own power. And so finally, what will he do with that wisdom, with that power? What's he going to accomplish? That's the final part of this section, verses 6 to 9. We see the king's impact, and we see he will bring unimaginable peace. Point 3, he will bring unimaginable peace. Perhaps that's the word we need today, after the Christmas lunch and the presents are open. Because peace is a great hope for our world, isn't it? We all hope that 2025 will be a year of peace, that those truces will come about, that we will see peace across this world. And we sing about it, don't we? Or we listen to people sing about it, whether it's John and Yoko dreaming that war is over, or Band-Aid hoping for peace in Africa, or Bowie and Bing harmonizing about peace on earth. But all of those hopes of peace, they are far too small. Just look at verses 6 to 9 with me. Look at this peace here. The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Just picture this in your mind for a moment. The wolves and the lambs having a sleepover and then both being there in the morning. The leopard and the goat sharing a midnight feast. The calf, that's what a yearling is here. It's basically a walking Sunday roast. Sitting there for a picnic with a lion. And who's in charge of this unlikely gathering? A child. A little child leads it all. I don't know about you, but even with world peace, I still wouldn't throw my youngest into the lion's cage. But here, that peace, it's so complete, it's so unimaginable that the child leads them. Even the cobra and the toddler become playmates. Just think about that. Parents, every nightmare you have of today alone, just imagine the nightmare of a child and a snake on the loose, that nightmare becomes perfectly safe. Every fear you have right now, everything that's in the back of your mind that you're trying to keep at the back, well, it's gone. It can be dealt with. The threat of death itself is removed. This isn't just animals getting along. This is about everything that is broken becoming unbroken. Everything that is fearful becoming fearless. Everything that is dangerous becoming safe. There will be no harm, no destruction on God's holy mountain. The harm of the fall, the destruction that caused the flood, everything that has ever gone wrong, ever could go wrong, is completely gone from God's holy mountain. Just think about the headlines we see today. The conflict, the division, the brokenness. Even in the moments of quiet, we know there is an undercurrent of tension. This passage brings us great hope because it's a vision of the world with that all gone. And why is that? What brings that about? The end of verse 9. For, because, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is what brings this all about. Knowledge of God is what brings this all about. The whole goal of creation is put back through this king. He doesn't just patch things up. He makes things better than they've ever been. This peace comes about from knowing God, from truly knowing God. This is a world where everyone lives in right relationship with God, and that means, therefore, with each other. And lest we forget, who brings this all about? This child, this shoot from the stump of Jesse. The best king you could ever ask for. He will bring unimaginable peace. And that hope ran through the entire Old Testament. Centuries later, from that very stump, a dynasty reduced to nothing but a memory, a descendant of David makes his way to Bethlehem to be counted because of his family line. It's a quiet moment. It's unremarkable to anyone passing by. Just a man with his pregnant bride on the way to Bethlehem to be counted. But as Isaiah's promises come into view once more, after generations of waiting and generations of longing, the child is born. And that's why this baby is such good news for our world. When systems fail, as David's dynasty did, he is the new David, God's forever king. Where leaders disappoint, as they always do, he comes with God's own wisdom and power. When peace seems impossible, as it often does as we watch the news, he brings transformation beyond our imagining. We see the stump giving way to the shoot. We see the humble birth in a weak and forgotten place where the hope of the world is cradled quietly. We see the helpless child who will be filled with God's Spirit, embodying perfect wisdom and righteousness. We see the conflict of history leading to cosmic peace, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb. We see God's ancient promise become reality. The baby in the manger brings us hope where there was despair, wisdom where there was confusion, peace where there was brokenness. See, this baby is not just a nice Christmas story. He's not just a tradition, a sentimental figure for the holiday card. This baby is the fulfillment of everything that God has been working towards since the beginning of time. And that is why Isaiah finishes this section, Isaiah 12, if you want to turn there, if it's not on the screen behind me. This is why Isaiah finishes this section with the response he expects from those who know this. In that day, you will say, "Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he's done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world, from Judea to Jerusalem and Samaria to the very ends of the world, even to Hemel Hempstead." So this morning, as we head home for our Christmas celebrations, remember the baby in the manger is God's green shoot of hope in our stumpy world. When life feels cut down, when our hope feels dead, when peace seems impossible, look to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this child here in Isaiah really is good news. Thank you that he is the new David, come to fulfill all your promises of that king to come. Thank you that he is the one with your wisdom and power, the one who is able to do and will always do the best thing for us. And thank you that he brings unimaginable peace, the very thing this world longs for, the very thing this world needs. So help us to join in with this call in Isaiah 12 to make known to the nations what you have done. Lord, we praise you today. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.